We shall now turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 84, and our text for tonight is verse 6. Psalm 84, verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Now this is one of the most beautiful of all the psalms. All the psalms are beautiful. And yet this one is particularly attractive. We love to sing it, don't we? We often sing it. And yet there's one verse in the psalm which seems a little bit odd. This verse 6. Sometimes we'll sing the first 5 verses. Other times we'll sing verses 7 to 12 and sometimes miss out verse 8 because perhaps it's not very clear what it means. What does it mean? What do you think it means? Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well? The rain also filleth the pools. What does it mean? It's important for us to understand the scriptures. And it's important for us when we sing to know what we're singing, to understand what we're singing. Recently I came across an article written by C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher. And it was on this verse. And I thought it very helpful, and so I'd like to share with you tonight some of the insights that Spurgeon gives us in that article. The first thing he refers to, if you're trying to understand this verse, is that you have to know the meaning of Baca. What does Baca mean? Baca's Vale, the Valley of Baca. Baca means tears. So this is the Valley of Tears. So it's a sad place, a sorrowful place, a miserable place, a trying, testing place. And then we're told about making a well. Why do you make a well? Why does anybody dig a well? They dig a well because they want water, because there's no stream running by. There's no water to be seen, no pools, no locks of water or lakes. It's a dry place. And so you dig a well in order that you'll have water, especially in the Middle East where water is scarce and the sun is beating down and it's hot. And so you dig a well. But then there's a problem. You dig a well and no water comes up, because there's no subterranean water. So you've dug a hole, but there's no water in the well. And you're thirsty. And you go on being thirsty, because you've dug your well and it's empty. But then there's something else in the verse. The rain also fills the pools. There's no water coming up from the ground, but the Lord sends the water down from heaven. And he fills the pool. He fills the well. And so you have a refreshing drink from the heavenly water that the Lord has given you. You are given this drink. And so you can carry on making your way through this dry, dusty, difficult, trying valley. A dry valley. A valley of tears because of thirst. But yet, when you dig your well and the Lord sends the rain from heaven, you are refreshed. And so you can go on your way, making your way towards the temple of the Lord. Because that's the idea here. Why do you want to go through the valley? Well, this psalm is a psalm about the temple, isn't it? And the children of Israel had to go to the tabernacle or to the temple. Three times a year it was required of them that they should make their pilgrimage to the tabernacle and later to Jerusalem to the temple. And some of them, the only way they could get to Jerusalem was by going through Baca's Vale, the Valley of Tears, the dry valley, that hard valley. It was the only way to reach Zion. Well, that gives us something of an idea as to what this verse means. So let's take that then and use it for our sermon tonight. And the first point I want us to notice tonight is that we delight in the house of God. That's plain in the psalm, isn't it? How amiable are thy tabernacles? How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me? The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. God's tabernacle. We love God's house. We love to be there where God is present. We want to meet with God. Our soul longs for God, for the living God. That's what we have in verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. God is so important to us. We can't live our lives without Him. We want God. We want the living God. Not some dumb dead idol, but the living God. And my flesh, my heart, cries out unto the living God. And we look when we come up to the temple and we see the little birds and they're making their nest in the temple. The sparrow hath found a house. The swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. And where are they laying their young? In thine altars, in thy house. How privileged the sparrows are. How blessed the swallows are. They don't have to go back to their farms and distant parts of the country. They dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The swallow and the sparrow with their nests in God's house. And so, verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in the house of the Lord. They will be still praising thee. Blessed are the priests who dwell in the house of the Lord. Blessed are the helpers of the priests who dwell in God's house. And then from time to time, we make our journey to the house of God. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. Psalm 122, pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. And what joy when our feet stand in Jerusalem, when our feet stand particularly in the courts of the Lord's house, when we come with our sacrifices and our offerings, and we meet with God, God who dwells there. It's God's house. There's the altar. There's the holy place. There's the holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant is. And the mercy seat, the seat on which, as it were, the Lord sits between the cherubims in the inner sanctuary. And we can come to the house of God. Praise God, you and I don't have to travel to Jerusalem to meet with God. It was much harder for the children of Israel. They had many laws, these ceremonial laws, and they had to perform all these rituals and three times a year to go to Jerusalem. But you and I, we can worship God here, and we can worship God in our homes, wherever we are. Remember Jesus meeting the woman at the well of Samaria. He rejoices in the well, doesn't he? And he asks for a drink because he's hot. It's the middle of the day and he's thirsty. And she gives him a drink from her bucket. But then she says, you say that we worship Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans built their temple. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship God. What does Jesus say? The day is coming and now is when neither in this mount nor yet in Jerusalem shall men worship the Father. But they that worship Him shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God, that day has come. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship God. There are people who make pilgrimages, aren't they? There are Roman Catholics who make pilgrimages to special shrines, to Lourdes or Canterbury or wherever it is. And the Muslims, you know how during their lifetime every Muslim should make a pilgrimage to Mecca. But you and I, we don't have to go to Jerusalem to meet God. We can meet Him here in Glasgow. We can meet Him wherever we are. As you know, I was minister in Portree before coming to Glasgow. Sometimes in the summertime when there were loads of tourists there, I might be down at the church doing some little job at the church. And some of these tourists, Germans, Italians, French, Spanish, they would come to the church and they would say, "Can we come in to pray?" And I would let them in and they would come into the church and they would sit down and they would bow their head and they'd pray and then they would go out and they would say thank you and they would go on their way. And they had this idea, if we go into a church to pray, it's better, it's special, it's a holy place. But that's rubbish. A prayer made in a church is no better than a prayer made in a car, or a prayer made in the forest, or a prayer made on a rock by the seashore. Jesus says to us, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who seeth in secret shall you reward you openly. Yes, in Old Testament times, Jerusalem was special. The temple was special. They had to go there 3 times a year. It was required of them. That was where they met with the priests and they made their offerings and they kept the Passover and they met with God. But you and I, we can call on God wherever we are. So we don't have to be pilgrims going to Jerusalem. But we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. And we're going to the new Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. We're on our way to the great house of God. The holy place. The holy of holies. And the place where God dwells. And Christ has said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is the new Jerusalem. There is the temple in heaven. And you and I are pilgrims. And when we are converted, what happens? We start out on the road as pilgrims. That's what it means to be a Christian. You become a pilgrim. You become one on a journey. You're on a journey from this world to heaven. On a journey from the city of destruction, the doomed city, to the celestial city of heaven. And Peter says in chapter 2 of his first epistle, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Remember, you're a stranger in this world. In this world, don't be too attached. Your home is heaven. Keep your mind on your heavenly home. Remember too that you're a pilgrim. You're on a journey. Don't settle down. If you settle down where you are, You'll never make it. You'll never reach the promised land. You'll never reach the new Jerusalem. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell. They ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed are they who dwell in thy house. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from this time forth and always. Blessed is everyone, every pilgrim who keeps going, who perseveres, who dies in the Lord. Because blessed are they that dwell in thy house. And when they die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We're pilgrims, and those who die in Jesus have arrived. They've reached the blessed city. They're seeing the face of Christ. They're seeing the King in His glory, and the land that is far off, and they're hearing His voice, and they're enjoying God forever. The blessing of being with the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and in His presence are pleasures evermore. So, first of all then, here tonight, we have delight in the house of God. The Israelites long ago delighted in the temple. And you and I delight in the new Jerusalem. But secondly, the path to Jerusalem goes through Baca's Vale. The Valley of Baca. That's the only way to reach Jerusalem. The road to heaven goes through this difficult valley. We wish that the Lord would lead us always in green pastures and by still waters. Wouldn't it be lovely all our days to have peace and joy and prosperity and health and wealth? It would be so wonderful, wouldn't it? Everything working out for us. The sun shining upon us, and the brook running in the way, providing us with drink. But instead, you and I sometimes come to this valley, this dry valley, this valley where there's no lake, where there's no river running by. Oh, that the brook Cherith were there, that we might get a drink from it as Elijah did. But all the brooks in this valley have dried up. There's no river there. There's no water there. It's a hard place. It's a long valley. Sometimes we think the valley is never going to come to an end. The sun is beating down and it's so hot. We're sweating. And we're panting. And we're saying, where's God? Where's God? Why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this trouble? Where is God? Others seem to have an easy life of it. It seems to us that God is smiling upon them every day. And they've got health and wealth and prosperity. Other Christians seem to get it so easy. But me. But me. I've got this horrible valley to go through. The darkness. The depression. The temptation to despair. The pain. The suffering. The anguish. The fear. The bereavement, the mourning, the grieving, the loss, the loneliness. the enemies, the persecution, the laughter and ridicule of the world and of Satan. And we struggle and we stumble through the valley of Baca. Our conscience condemns us. Our sins come up before our eyes. We feel we have let the Lord down. We feel God is angry with us. Everything seems to be against us. It seems sometimes even as if the Lord's people have turned their back on us. And there we are alone in the valley of Baca. And we're weeping. And we're weeping. And our bed is wet with tears. We feel we're backslidden. We feel we're under God's chastisement. We feel a failure. Our heart is heavy and our steps are heavy. We wish we were on the mountaintop. We wish we were in the green pastures by the still water. But it's this dusty, rocky, hard, dry, barren valley. The valley of Baca. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that your experience? Have you ever experienced Baca's veil? Thirsty and dying of thirst, and there is no water. The road goes through Baca's veil. But then, thirdly, we have a duty to dig a well in this valley. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make a well or dig a well, the rain also filleth the pools. We have to dig a well. We have to do what we can. We mustn't sit back. We mustn't despair. We mustn't be paralyzed by our problems and our depression, and our pains, and our disabilities, and our frailties, and the opposition that we're facing. We've got a duty to dig a well. Don't just sit around waiting for a miracle. Don't just sit around waiting for somebody to come with a water bottle to you, bottle of water to give you something to drink. Start digging. Dig your well. But how do you dig a well? You dig a well when you pray. You dig a well when you come to the Lord and pour out your heart to Him. You dig a well when you read His Word and you come into the Scriptures looking for an answer. You dig a well when you come to the house of God to worship with God's people. You dig a well when you come to the Lord's table, to the sacraments, seeking blessing and benefit upon your soul. The means of grace, the means whereby God brings grace to us. You look to God for help. But you notice that when the psalmist digs his well, no water comes bubbling up from the earth. It's the rain from heaven. The water doesn't come from us. We need God. God alone can send the water down. It's from God that the blessing comes. It's on God we depend. To God we must give the glory. We dig the well. And yet it's a useless well in and of itself. But again, it's not useless, because the rain comes down and the rain fills the pool. And so we can come and drink deeply, and with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation. Not unto us, Lord, not to us, but do Thou glory take. All glory be to God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The rain comes from heaven. All grace comes from God. Yet, you and I must dig the wells. If we don't dig the wells, the rain will come and there'll be nowhere to collect the water. We dig our wells and we are saved by the grace of God. Deliverance comes because God is gracious. And He is the good shepherd who looks after His sheep. And He's keeping an eye on us. And never does He have a more focused and attentive eye upon us than when we're going through Baker's Vale. He's really watching us then. Watching carefully. We're thirsty. We won't die of thirst. We dig the well and the Lord delights to fill it with a rain from heaven. He gives us grace to help in time of need. Grace when we need it. Not when we don't need it, but grace when we need it. Just when we need it, and for what we need it, and in proportion to our need. It's always just what we need. The Lord knows what is right, and He measures every gift to our experience, every drop of rain to our need, as it were. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, make a well there, and the rain also filleth the pools. And they go from strength to strength. They keep on going, therefore, from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion, in Jerusalem, appears before God. From strength to strength, refreshed by the water from the well. I think of one old minister speaking to me. He once said, I don't think it's with me from strength to strength, but rather from weakness to weakness. And yet, keeping going. So often it's like that. It's weakness and weakness and weakness, and yet strength to help, to keep on going. Just enough to help us to keep on going. They go from strength to strength, until in Zion they appear before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. O Lord God of hosts, fill my well with water. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, our shade from the sun. Look upon the face of thine anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, who died for us, to earn for us the wells of salvation. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A thousand in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather one day with God than a thousand anywhere else. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather be standing at the door of God's house than sitting on the chiefest seat in the tents of wickedness and the houses of Satan and of worldly pleasure. A day in God's house, in God's courts, in God's presence, the pilgrim's looking forward to it. He's not able to dwell there. He can only make his journey there 3 times in the year. He goes up and he has that day in the courts of the Lord's house. And, oh, it's better to him than all the other days of the year. But friends, you and I are on a journey to the Lord's house, and we're going to dwell there not just for a day, but for all eternity. forever and ever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. There's no need in heaven for the sun or the moon to shine upon it, because the Lord God and the Lamb are the light thereof. The Lord God is a sun and a shield to deliver us from our enemies. The Lord will give grace and glory, grace for this life and glory to follow. Grace today, glory tomorrow. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Not one blessing will be kept back from you. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Do you trust in God? How blessed, how happy is the one who trusts in God. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And blessed is the man that trusts in Thee.